All right, what's up, guys? We are 3 weeks, count it, 3 weeks away from the 2024 election. There are many people that are voting early right now. People are going to the polls now. They're doing these things. And we are that close. This thing is wrapping up. And a new poll just come out stating that over 30 million self-proclaimed Christians are setting this thing out. They're not coming. They're not voting. They're not using their constitutional rights. Guys, this could spell disaster for our country. And then we're going to talk about that today. And then I'm going to show you a pastor's perspective on this that I thought was profound. I thought it was excellent. We're going to share that with you as well. So we got a lot to cover today. So let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. It is Wednesday, October 16th. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to today's program. Can you do me a favor, guys? Hit that like button. Did you know that this will help us push this out and let eyes be seen on this on Rumble and on YouTube, wherever platform you're watching from or listening from. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, do us a favor. If you like our content, give us good reviews. Help us to spread the word out there. And always, guys, if we do have a free app for you guys that may not be aware of this, you can pick it up today at your Apple and Android store. Just simply go there, download it, hit yes to push notifications. And this is how you can keep up with our ministry. Every podcast, every prophecy update, breaking news, everything's going to right there. Every article you can see there on the illustration or the description of this and the image, you can see those articles coming up. And then, of course, the podcast as well. So it is, as we said at the beginning of this, the opening, the introduction of this message today, we are 3 weeks out. I mean, this thing is wrapping up quickly. We're getting ready to get to the end of the race. And a lot of people are already voting early here in this, in my state in Georgia, people are voting early. And there is a new poll that I'm going to talk about, amongst other things today while we're on this topic. If you guys know me well enough to know, and if you're just joining us, this is the first time you've come onto our program. We typically don't talk about politics. I'm not one of these pastors and preachers out here that constantly talk about politics. I just don't. I do because I have to, and it's kind of like a shot that I get, or when I get drawn, when I get blood drawn to go get a health assessment checkup, I don't enjoy it, but I have to get it done, get it out of the way and move on. And this is kind of what we're doing. So I figured, hey, we're 3 weeks out. Let's just dedicate this segment to politics. And I'm going to show you why. If you're listening to this today and you are in the United States of America, I understand we have a lot of viewers and listeners that come in and they listen outside of America. This doesn't really pertain to you, but it does, because it will affect you. It will impact you. So to not say that it won't is an understatement, because whoever wins the election in 3 weeks, it will impact you for good or bad. Now, there is a new, again, as I said, there is a new poll that just came out. And I want to show you this. This was from FaithWire. Look at this headline. More than 30 million, with an M, million, 30 million self-proclaimed professing Christians are now stating, and I believe this, by the way, guys, because on all of our social media accounts, you can read the comments and people comment all the time. So they are part of this poll here. They're part of the 30 million. More than 30 million of these self-proclaimed Christians are stating that they are setting out this presidential election. They're not voting. They're not casting their vote. Or they're going to write in Jesus on the ballot. All right, upwards of 104 million people of faith, including some 32 million self-identified Christians who regularly attend church services, are expected to set out the 2024 presidential election. They are likely to hold back from the November 5th contest due to a lack of interest, according to a new data from Arizona Christian University's Cultural Research Center, operated by evangelical pollster George Barna. Voter enthusiasm, the study found, decreased significantly in the past 4 years, from 2020 to 2024. The research asked people who indicated they were not likely to vote to explain the reasons for that choice. According to the researchers, quote, the most common reason offered by two-thirds of those who said they're not voting was a, quote, lack of interest in politics and elections. Really? So of all the things that would keep you from not voting, that is your excuse. That's the excuse. 68% of those polled say the reason why they're not going to use their constitutional rights is because of lack of interest in politics and elections. More than half of survey respondents, 57%, said they dislike both candidates, Vice President Kamala Harris and President Donald Trump. And 55% said they don't feel either candidate reflects their values. Again, their values. You have to wonder, and again, I understand, guys, that abortion is a big, big, big topic here. And again, when we get to, I'm going to save a lot of my own personal opinion for when we do a reaction video to another pastor, because what he says and how he articulates it is perfect. So I'm going to save my breath from voicing my own opinion. And we're going to watch this together, and we'll do some commentary on that. Researchers reportedly believe that if the survey findings prove true on election day, then Trump's reelection is less likely, listen to that, guys, and Harris could more easily pull off a victory. I want to say that again for the back row that's listening. And we'll find out. Because, you know, some people read this, they'll hear this, and they'll be like, oh, you know, that's a bunch of baloney. And, well, we'll see. Again, if the survey's findings are true and accurate, then come election day, Trump's reelection is less likely going to happen. And it will be more easy for Harris to pull off the victory. Translation, guys, if you set out this and you don't go and vote at all, you're essentially casting your vote to Harris. Now, you may not have a problem with that. You may be listening to this and you call yourself a Christian, call yourself a believer, and you don't have any problem with Harris winning the election. But if you don't like her and you're against her radical policies, then you setting out the election is inherently, by default, you're giving them the victory. That's what this is saying. Pastors often seek opportunities to have a positive influence in people's lives and open and upon the culture and to help the community in which their church is located. This research underscores the fact that simply encouraging people to vote in order to fulfill their biblical responsibility would not only be seen as doing their job while helping the community, but an estimated 5 million regular churchgoers would be likely to vote as a result of that simple exhortation. Now, one megachurch pastor recently stated that Christians who don't vote are, quote, rebelling against God. According to, I'm going to read this. This is from the Christian. Josh Howerton, who is a senior pastor of the multi-site Lake Point Church in Texas, has warned that Christians who choose not to vote will be in passive rebellion against God. Now, that's a strong statement. Let's evaluate what he's talking about here. In a message to his congregation on October 6th titled How to Vote Like Jesus, Howerton lamented that Christians have become passive in their political participation over the past 45 years due to a misguided idea that, quote, churches and pastors should avoid politics and stay away from commenting on politics or political leaders. Quote, I just need you to know that concept is completely and utterly unbiblical, he said. Reading on, you cannot read a Bible about Moses, Daniel, Esther, Nathan, Nehemiah, John the Baptist, and think the church and pastors should avoid addressing government and governmental leaders. Now, I 100% agree with that. You just can't do it, he said. It's all throughout the Bible. He then warned, if Christians allow themselves to be silenced when it comes to the governance of the country, it is godless voices that will prevail. He nailed it. I agree with that. We often say at Lake Point, quote, if the church won't disciple people, the world will. I agree with that. Howerton said, quote, if godly leaders, godly pastors, and godly voices all go silent or refuse to be clear on issues related to politics and government, then the only voices that are left are the godless ones. Again, nailed it. Howerton contended that while some people might be concerned that the church in America is getting too political, the truth is that it's the government that has overstepped its boundaries and getting more involved in theology. Nailed it again. Quote, what's happening right now is the church is not getting more political. Politics are getting more theological, and politics are getting more spiritual. When the government moved past things like building roads, issuing driver's license, and teaching math, to things like redefining marriage, erasing gender, reframing abortion as reproductive rights, and then using the government school system to indoctrinate everyone's children into believing those things, the church didn't move, politics did. Boom, nailed it again. And because the government is now engaged in spiritual and theological warfare, Howerton believes that it is the job of Bible-believing churches to arm themselves with Scripture and the Holy Spirit and fight back. He cited Scripture as he explained that because God established the concept of the family, the church, and the state, Christians are expected to defend these institutions by ensuring that they are being led by godly people. Howerton also reminded his congregants that America is not a democracy, but a constitutional republic where politicians are representatives of the people. Now, guys, there is not a single thing in there that he said that was wrong. I agree with every single statement that this man made. I know that a lot of people don't agree with that, but he nailed that. Again, if you're a citizen of America, if you don't live in America, this doesn't constitute to you. But if you live in America, as citizens of a republic, we have the constitutional right to go, and we have that freedom to do so. You better, I'm telling you, we are losing our freedoms. There may come a day when we don't have that freedom to do that anymore. So while you have that freedom, why would you not exercise your freedom to go and cast your vote? Well, I don't like Donald Trump. I'm a never Trumper. Okay. Then you are basically siding with a radical agenda. And if you want to know more about that radical agenda, stand by, because we're gonna give you more information on that. And meanwhile, you got people like Whoopi Goldberg that is out there lecturing Christians who are pro-life, you know, that actually stand for what the Word of God says. And they're lecturing us. So they have the freedom to exercise their freedom of speech to slam Bible-believing Christians who stand for the sanctity of life. In a recent episode of The View, which I don't know how, apparently somebody's watching this because it stays on the air. I don't understand it, but it stays on the air. In a recent episode, she said, quote, I'd like to remind all those Christians and Catholics out there that, quote, it is a much bigger conversation than just abortion. The 68-year-old Whoopi Goldberg said, quote, going on to seemingly suggest pro-lifers are not concerned about the safety and well-being of mothers. Oh, here we go. Quote, if you're concerned about what this does to human being, what it does to a human being in their life, is this the way that, quote, Jesus wants you to be? Is this the way that, quote, Jesus wants you to act? Obviously, she's referring to standing against the shedding of innocent blood. She continued on and said, don't Jesus want you to be able to say to somebody, come over here. I know you must be going through something tough opposed to what we're seeing. This is insane. So again, and I would show the video, but I don't know if we'll get hit with the copyrights or not because it's The View. So probably so. But anyway, Whoopi Goldberg, again, is out here using her freedoms and her American rights that she's been given to slam pro-life Christians. Meanwhile, in Virginia, a satanic temple is opening a, quote, religious abortion clinic that promotes abortion rituals. Let me say that again for my Virginians that may be listening. In your state, a satanic temple is opening a, quote, religious abortion clinic that promotes abortion rituals. What in the world is this about? According to thechristianpost.com, the Satanic Temple opened a second telehealth abortion facility to provide what it describes as, quote, religious abortion services, and sees the killing of preborn children as part of its destruction ritual. Despite its name, TST is not affiliated with the Church of Satan, an organization founded by Anton LaVey in the 1960s. TST also has its headquarters in Salem, Massachusetts. Boy, that's a shock. Do you realize Salem, Massachusetts is a hotbed for demonic activity and witchcraft? This is where it holds two virtual satanic temple services each week. TST announced in a press release provided to the Christian Post that its new 24/7 telehealth abortion facility, which they call the, quote, Right to Your Life Satanic Abortion Clinic, will open in Virginia. Women will be charged a fee to obtain abortion-inducing drugs, but the group claims it will help pay for some travel-related expenses. In a TST document shared with the Christian Post, the group claims that abortion is part of its, quote, destruction ritual that serves as protective right. The document adds that preparations for the ritual include reading or listening to the stories of people who advocated for legal abortion to subdue any stigmas one might feel. In other words, translations, if you feel convicted about taking the life of your child, then they're going to read stories to suppress that conviction because they want to, quote, and I quote, subdue any stigmas one might feel centered around carrying out this practice. So again, folks, this is happening in the state of Virginia. This again, openly right out there. So you tell me this is not a spiritual warfare. Speaking of spiritual warfare, I thought this was a good news for once, and I want to share this with you. 250,000 women gathered on the National Mall to, quote, pray for the nation, saying that, quote, the last stand moment for America is here. CBN reported that tens of thousands of evangelical Christians gathered on the National Mall Saturday in Washington, D.C., or this past Saturday, to pray for America to return to God. A million women gathering was a 12-hour live stream event featuring worship, keynote speakers, and prayers to turn America back to godly values. Millions around the world tuned into the event, described as a gathering for those hungry to see the Lord's hand cover this nation, to fast and pray in unity as a last stand moment for America. Now, according to the report, this event was a dream come true for organizer and evangelist Lou Engle, who states that this was literally a dream that he had come true, in which in 2017, Engle had a powerful dream where he knew God was raising up an Esther moment for such a time as this. Quote, everyone knows America is in a time of crisis. The world is in a time of crisis. Fasting and prayer has always shifted history. Esther was raised up for a time. If there was not a shift there, they would have lost an entire nation. So I've always said, listen, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, whatever the case would be, that many believers coming together and praying and asking God to bring a reprieve or repentance or turn America back to him. This is a good thing, regardless. If there's prayer, there's repentance, there's fasting, then, you know, I'm all for that. You know, we have to come to, again, if my people that are called by my name so humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sin and wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and heal their land. All right, guys, I got one more. I'm almost done. I got this video I want to show you. I told you at the beginning of this, there was one particular pastor that I want to do a reaction video to. He perfectly states the importance and the significance of voting. Okay, so this is where we're going to wrap up this quick segment today. I want you to hear this. We're going to pull this up again. We're going to do a reaction to this. And by the way, I've never heard this. This is called Dialed In Ministries. Johnny Artavanus. I don't know how you pronounce his name. But anyway, here is the video. So let's watch this together. Check this out.
I was thinking through it. I think in many ways, a lot of people in the church today have a misconception about the mission of Jesus. And I wrote down a few thoughts, and this is not an aside, but I think it is something that is fitting because of the text we're in, that many people confuse Jesus's mission. I saw a pastor this week, very well-known pastor, that said, he tweeted or something, never Trump, this year Harris, always Jesus. I just want you to understand that that is one of the most foolish things I've ever seen. And here's why. People have asked me this week if I have opinions politically. I have opinions, a lot of them. I'm not a political commentator. I'm a preacher of the Bible. But certain things politically are more theological than they used to be. So let me just give you some things about where I stand, because people have texted me a few things, and I'll just... this stuff is not hard for me to say. Number one, the Democratic Party is a demonic death cult under the power and influence of Satan.
Well, he didn't make any, he didn't skirt around that one, did he? He called it just like it was. I want you to keep that in mind if you're planning to set out this election. Think about, now he's going to give, he's going to elaborate a little bit more here. Think about this. You need to really take notes on this and listen to this.
Hold on. No, I'll explain why I say hold on. To vote for the Democrats is to vote for a platform that is building their platform upon everything God hates.
All right, here we go. Now, what could that be?
The mutilation of bodies, the annihilation of babies in the womb, and the sexualization of your children. That is their calling card. That is what they want to do. They don't hide that. They have abortion facilities outside of the Democratic Convention. This is who they are. It's the most radical party in our country's history. So I don't see how you could be a Christian and vote for a party who promotes everything that God hates.
Just take a second to think about that for a second. Yeah, but I don't trust Trump, and he is a convicted felon, and he's this and that and this. Again, guys, you need to, he's going to talk about this. You're going to have to weigh some stuff out here, because do I advocate everything that Trump's done? Do I promote this guy as squeaky clean and the face of everything that's wholesome? Absolutely not. But if you're going to ask me to vote between yay and nay, this and that, it's a no-brainer.
That's the first thing. Secondly, you have a responsibility and privilege to vote for the option that best stems the tide of evil.
Right.
I want you to also understand that there are no perfect candidates in this election.
There you go.
They're both broken people. But one of them presents a far better option at the preservation of life and the upholding of the family than the other. Failure to vote is a failure to express our gratitude to the men and women that have died for our country.
Come on, think about it.
And given us the freedom that we have today. It's also a failure to, I believe, obey the calling that we have to uphold the righteousness in our land. You don't have to like the personality. You just vote for the best option between the policies. And one of them is far less worse than the other. I think that's obvious. And a vote, just in general, it comes from the Latin word votum, which means to make a choice. You're not voting for a pastor. You're voting for a guy that, as best we have as an option, upholds righteousness in the land. Number three.
That's a powerful statement.
Three. And this is why I said hold on. Because there are certain people that are going to amen the political thing, but I also want the amens just to be as loud as when I say this. Our hope is not in a political party. Who is in the White House is far less important than who is on the throne in heaven.
Come on.
And I want you to also understand, because I've watched some videos this week that contradict this idea, the advancement of the gospel isn't reliant a single ounce upon who is president. I want you to understand that where Christianity spreads the fastest and the farthest are in the nations that are persecuted the most.
True.
Not where there's the most religious freedom. The reason our world is crumbling, the reason we're under the judgment of God, is because we've turned our back on God. And if you want to see political reform, you need to see a spiritual revival. It's not the other way around. You don't pursue political reform so that there can be a spiritual revival. So when people say things like, we need to get this guy in office and then there will be a spiritual revival in our land. No, there won't be. No, there won't be. That's not the way it works, and that's never been the way it works. Number four, we should speak out against the evil of our day, but you should never turn the mission field into your enemy.
Think about it.
You can call out the policies, call out the issues. I can speak against the horrors of abortion. Makes God weep. The trans agenda, whatever it may be, I have a heart for those people. And you ought to have a heart for them. And you can get riled up on Twitter and you can live in your insulated bubble and start looking at them, them. No, that's why you're here.
Come on.
And if you don't understand that, you don't understand what your mission is as a Christian. Number five, if you are more likely to promote your political views than you are to proclaim Jesus Christ, if people know you more for being a Republican than they do for being a Christ follower, your priorities are way out of whack.
Wow, guys. He's dropping some truth bombs, whether you want to receive it or not.
So I disappointed both people, right? So like that's where we're at today. But I want you to understand those truths. You should go vote. And it's not a difficult decision for me.
All right, guys, let me know what you think about that in the comment section, in the chat, and wherever you're able to comment. So there's really not much I can add to that. He nailed it perfectly. He beautiful presentation of why, as Americans, we should use our constitutional rights to go to the polls and cast our vote. Because literally, our entire nation and the existence of it, it could literally be at stake. So again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, guys, don't forget to pick up your free app today, available on Apple and Android devices. Pick it up. Hit yes to push notifications and get it. It'll be a great blessing to you to keep up with our ministry. And again, don't forget to hit that like button, hit that share button. And as always, guys, if you'd like to support this ministry, if it encourages you, equips you, and exhorts you, all the above, you can pray about partnering with us. You can do that electronically. There's multiple ways you can do that electronically or right there on your screen, End Time Headlines. P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655 for those who would like to give by check or by money order. So, guys, we're going to sign off for this afternoon. Listen, we're going to be back tonight for a big show at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to give a major update regarding the war between Israel and Iran. The clock is ticking. We've got some new information we want to share with you. So don't forget to tune in tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. So until then, you guys have a great afternoon, and we'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.